So now, if that's got any ideas in your head, we're going to talk to Mr. Network, Joe Pelayo, who actually was kicked out of high school. We're going to find out why a little bit later. But he went on to build a multi-million dollar business and has become one of the top producing executive recruiters in the United States. And he's with us here today to find out. And I think you've got, how many people do you have in your network, Joe?
Well, I'm one of the most LinkedIn people in the Bay Area.
You're LinkedIn.
Our database is over 100,000, and my network newsletter list goes to about 50,000 people, and mostly in the greater Bay Area.
Very good. Well, welcome to the bridge, Joe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Kathy.
Oh, you bet. Okay, so tell me, why'd you get kicked out of high school?
Well, I was one of those kids that was gifted. I was gifted in drug dealing, class clowning, truancy, you know, all those special gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, I was called into counselor's office at College Park High School in Pleasant Hill, California.
College Park, local boy.
Yeah. And he looked at me and said, Joe, you got one class left here, and it's PE. And we can't have this anymore. We're not a gym. And and so I was sent to Olympic, which is the special school in Contra Costa where they send all the gifted children, gifted in these categories.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought I'd fit in better there.
There were other gifted drug dealers at
Yes, correct.
Too?
Drug dealers, truant kids, class clowns, the whole bit.
Okay.
And they had kind of flex time there where you could come, you know, 5 hours a week of school. And you could come whenever you wanted, which was kind of cool. So I would come every Friday because I was a procrastinator. And I'd sit down on Friday and I'd just power out 5 hours of school. And all my friends would be like, Joe, how do you do 5 hours of school? I can't believe it. That's how, you know, high achieving they were. That was beyond their comprehension. But anyway, I got past that and I took the proficiency examination, you know, the GED.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't ready to go to 4 years of school.
And I
responded to an ad in the paper that said interviewer trainee, and I got involved in the recruiting business and started recruiting. And I worked at it about 6 months. I was terrible. I was the worst recruiter you've ever seen. I was the worst headhunter ever to pick up a phone, they joke.
Oh, that's funny.
And I got talked out of quitting by a couple of people, fortunately, and one of them who went on and became my vice president. I got tired of him being my boss, so I hired him later after I started my own company.
Wow, very good. So what happened? You say you're one of the top producing executive recruiters in the United States. How did that happen?
Well, I think what happened for me, I was interviewed by the San Francisco Business Times, and it was a huge article with a picture and lots of paragraphs, and the only quote they had from me was at the end, it said, I don't think I'm the smartest guy in San Francisco, but I might be the most persistent.
Mm.
And I think I've used persistence to stick it out. When I went and had that lunch with Dennis, he threw his sandwich on the ground. He said, I can't believe, Joseph, with all the time I put into you, that you're going to quit. And I said, well, and I'd never seen him that mad. You know, I said, okay, well, I'll give another 6 months. Mm. And I stuck it out and started to put some things together. And, you know, what happened for me in the recruiting business, you put stuff in the pipeline and you don't really see the results till later. So I was putting stuff in the pipeline. Then I was looking at the end result and calculating commissions and whatnot that invariably never happened because I stopped working.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I was stopping working, but I had stopped. Well, anyway, I accidentally worked hard enough, long enough to see the results. And a light went off and I thought, wow, the hard work does pay off, you know, eventually, especially in my business. I'm in a business where I plant seeds today and it pays, you know, many, many years down the line sometimes.
For many people, it's that way.
Mm. After the 9/11 bust, it seemed like everybody I'd ever met was looking for a job. I mean, wow, it was unbelievable, the phone calls, the resumes, everything that was coming in. And we had a room at the City Club where I'm a member, and we just invited unemployed financial executives, that's my niche, you know, CFOs, controllers, and whatnot, to come in and share job search ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that kind of ended, we did that for a couple of years, and finally the job market recovered, and somebody called me the other day and said, hey, I was at one of your breakfasts, and I'm hiring somebody now. I'm calling you and only you because you helped me when I was out. And that's, you know, kind of networking lesson number one is, you know, look for opportunities to do favors for people, even maybe where they can't pay you back right away because it comes back.
Look for opportunities to do favors for people and to help people in need, it sounds like.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So what would you say, what would be your advice to people? I mean, everybody knows somebody. Somebody. No, we all have a much larger network than we realize. But so many of us do a little bit, like you say, we don't really go the extra mile. We know we've got these people in our lives that we could partner with. Say like Greg, who was on the show last week, who, you know, just the light bulb went off and he said, I can go out and find these deals. I don't have a job.
Mm.
I can go find these properties. And I can then use my network of people who do have good credit and who do have a little money set aside for a down payment. And we can all partner on this thing. thing, and they want to be in real estate, but they don't have the time, you know. So that's an example of using your network. Now, what do you suggest to people listening? We've all got a network. We just may not be using it.
Yeah, and I think people, they let off the accelerator when they're in a job for their network. And so, you know, after the dot-com bust, after 9/11, nobody was hiring anybody. It was the worst job market we've ever seen in the Bay Area. And, you know, three people who I know have been in the business 30 years. They all, to a person, said it's the worst job market they've ever seen. Some said worse than the Great Depression, at least here in the dot-com bust Bay Area.
Yeah, sure.
And so what happened was I would have people come in and call me. And so one of the questions I ask, because, of course, when you're looking for a job, people say you got a network, right? And 60% of people get their jobs through networking. So you ask a guy, well, what are you doing on your networking? Well, haven't done too much. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you mean? What meetings have? What associations are you? Well, I think I'm in the Financial Executives Association, right? And you think? Well, when was your last meeting? Well, 6 years ago.
Oh.
Well, what happened? Well, you know, I was working hard at the job, and I got kids, and all these things that are admirable and wonderful. But I think you've got to put a little bit of time in each month, each day, especially with the new year coming up. Make a commitment that every week you will do something to build your network. And that's why I wrote this book, Work Your Network, because so many people had let their networks lag when they were employed. And if you're unemployed now, it's obviously that's the time to power up your networking, and people do.
But
when you're working,
employed.
This is the wake-up call. Yeah, everybody's got to be networking all the time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The higher level you go, the more important it is.
So your book, Work Your Network, will teach people how to build their network.
Absolutely.
And work their network.
That's right.
So tell me, I mean, it's kind of obvious, but what would you say is the value of having a large network? I mean, you've said you've got 100,000 people on in your database and your email list. What's the value to you?
Well, you can get through to people. You know, people want to talk to you. You can get on the radio.
I'm one of your networks.
People want to work with you, mm-hmm. and they know that you're a person in a position of influence and able to help people. And you can start small. You know, in the book, Work Your Network, it's a how-to networking book, but really it's the story of my life, and it's a biography, and that's why I think it's been selling well and people like it, is because it's not a boring how-to book, but it's more the story of my life, loosely interpreted how to drop out of school and become a millionaire anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I think it can serve as an inspiration to people who are without a high school diploma or without a college. And then the guys who already did, you know, do the college thing, they can look at me and say, wow, if that guy can do it, then I can definitely do it. and I'm okay with that.
Okay, fantastic. What else do we need to know about your book and other success stories you have?
Well, I think one of the things that people can do is, you know, people say that you've got to get out there and network and get into these groups and just get out there. And I think that's okay.
Some people hate networking groups.
Yeah, well, I think that's okay. I think the way somebody asked me at a networking event, Joe, do you think that you met, do you think you got to know, you really got to know the people in this group by networking, by coming to these meetings? And I said, no, I think I got to know them by being on the boards.
Yeah.
So that's the key. So what happened for me is I'm going along. I'm in the Institute of Management Accountants, and I'm at an early meeting. I'm making some friends, and a guy taps me on the shoulder, says, Joe, if I run for president, will you be on my board? You know, I didn't know he was already slated to be president.
Mm-hmm.
But I was honored, and I went on his board. But in retrospect, and what I would recommend to people is you be aggressive and say, you know, go to some meetings. You find a group you like. Mm-hmm. And go to the leadership, the president, or somebody on the board and say, hey, I like what's going on here. I'd like to help out. Can I be on the board? And the worst thing that can happen is they say no. Most times they'll find a place for your energy. Now, Ms. Manners might say, well, that's not, you know, the way it's done. You got to wait for the invitation. Hey, you're here to build a power network and be successful. You're not waiting for Ms. Manners' invitation.
Do not wait for the invitation.
Right.
No.
Go for it.
That's such a good point. You know, my husband, Rich, is a personal coach. Actually, you know that very well.
Yes, he's my coach. He's a great coach.
He agrees with you so much on being on a board of something in an industry that you're trying to build or become more involved in. Definitely get involved in that association and get on the board, because then you have access to everyone.
Absolutely.
That's the smartest thing. So when he, you know, starting out as a personal coach back 10 years ago, nobody knew what personal coaching was. Now it's pretty common. But he got on the board of the International Coach Federation and actually became vice president.
Yes.
And as a result, he had so much more clout when he went to sell his book and to write a book, and Simon and Schuster picked him up because he had been the president of the Personal and Professional Coaches Association, and he knew everybody.
That's right. He got a big book deal.
He got a good, very, very good book deal.
And